Marion has mentioned Rachel was to be preaching. She sends her love and is frustrated not to be here. Instead, you get me this time. It's Epiphany. Epiphany is a wonderful season. Epiphany is a gold season. Look at this gold. Look at your order of service. We even got that to be a very nice kind of gold colour. So it's a great time of the church year. There's lots of great times of the church year. This time is all about, I have seen the light. Hence the colour, maybe. I've seen Jesus. That's what the stories are all about. I've recognised God. I've heard God, and I'm responding to God. Well, what wonderful things for us to be thinking about. We often talk about God's call. It's one of those phrases. And I suppose if you look at the stories of Epiphany, even so far, and there's a number of weeks still to go on Sundays where we're going to hear different stories from the Gospels, we've got the wise men who see the star and they follow the star. That's God's call for them. We've got Samuel in the Old Testament who hears a voice and follows that. He hears God's voice. And Nathaniel, who hears Jesus' call through a friend. It's quite a range of ways that God uses, even in just those three different stories. How might God call us today? I think we have these wonderfully spiritual ways of thinking about it, but I just thought, what if it got really practical? Because, for example, Samuel wasn't ready for anything spiritual. He was just listening to a voice. So what would it be? So many ways we communicate. Which one of those might God use? What about if, for example, he decided to talk to us face to face? Wow, that would be a Moses moment. That would be amazing. What if he used the thing we all have, the phone? Pick up the phone. Hello, it's God here. That would be kind of quite a moment, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be expecting that. Do you use technology? God would get through to most of us most easily using a mobile phone because we've always got it somewhere near us. How would that work? The phone call, maybe, that dreadful ringtone, or even Skype. Let's do a video call with God. That would be awesome and very scary. But then there are other things. Many of you, all of you maybe, will text. Texts are wonderful. Little short messages. And then sometimes you have one of those messages where you think, I haven't a clue what you mean. Either because of predictive text or because people use these wonderful phrases which just don't make sense to average people who are over a certain age maybe or who weren't involved. And there's some wonderful things that we see. For example, this is a very easy one nowadays, okay? So that says, lol, see you later. And lol, it's an oldie mistake to think lol means lots of love. Don't use that at the end of your text. It means laughing out loud, which is not lots of love. Or it can mean lots of love, depending who's sending it to you, I suppose. But anyway, officially it means laughing out loud. Then you get some more complicated ones. Have a go at some of these. I've forgotten the first one already, actually. Don't get me wrong. As far as I know, rolling on the floor laughing. That's what you say when it's really, really funny. Okay, so there's these various phrases we get, and they can be difficult to work out because they don't actually, unless you know them, it's a bit difficult to know what they are. It's much easier when people use these great things, like in the old days when it didn't change that automatically into a smiley face. That was a smiley face. That was, this is a happy thing, or this is a sad thing, or this is a joke, don't take it seriously. This is, oh my goodness. Oops, oh my goodness. Or, this is rather sad. We're crying, and I really don't know what to think about this. Not sure. Well, if you don't like turning your head sideways, then you can get some other ones which are actually the right way up. For example, yay, cheerleaders, this is a good moment. Or even, it gets very clever with the cat and the mouse. And you see the mouse, it's very cool. Anyway, these are called emoticons, just a technical thought for you, okay? Emoticons invented way back near the beginning of the internet. But in fact, in years, centuries gone by, there were even typeset people who did similar stuff way back then. Emojis are another thing altogether. They are pictures. And we now communicate with a lot of pictures like this. This is clearly a happy picture. This is clearly a, it's cool, or something like that, or very happy, or whatever. You could go for, that is ruffle. Rolling on the floor laughing. That's the ruffle picture, okay? Just so that you know. And then you get some which are even like whole pictures of the dancing lady. Now be careful, because what looks like a dancing lady on your phone can sometimes look like a dancing monster on another phone. So it just depends. Each phone has their own thing. So you say, I'm thinking of you looking like this. sending the dancing lady, and the other person thinks you're saying it's a dancing monster that they look. Anyway, these are not things for this sermon, but just a thought. So, there are so many ways that we can communicate, aren't there? Hopefully we can understand the messages, because the main point is we're supposed to understand the messages better because of the different things that are in them. But sometimes we do have to work to understand. There does have to be a little bit of to and fro before we work something out. And there's a little bit of that in the readings that we had this morning when you think about it. There wasn't any modern technology, but even so, there was a need for people to think. And the messages didn't go very well at the start. It didn't work out quite straight away. So let's see what we can learn about how God calls, and also about the different ways that we can respond. And we're looking particularly at the different people who came into the readings this morning. And I'm going to start with the most recent one, thinking about Philip and Nathanael. Philip possibly had been a disciple of John. That's all the sort of time that we're hearing about him for the first time, John the Baptist. But he becomes a disciple of Jesus, one of the apostles. He has a Greek name. He talks to people about Greeks at some stages. We don't know that much about him, but maybe he was somebody who was fluent in Greek. He was one of the disciples. Probably not the same Philip who later on met the Ethiopian chap in the chariot in Acts. So anyway, we know a bit about him. Nathanael, we hear less about in John's Gospel, and we hear nothing about in the other three Gospels. But when you get the list of disciples in the other Gospels, there's Philip's name, and then you've got somebody called Bartholomew. Well, Bartholomew is kind of a surname, Bartholomew. So if it was actually Nathanael, son of Tholomew, then actually it's the same person. And Christian tradition has had it that actually, here are our list of disciples. Surely Nathanael and Bartholomew are actually two names of the same person, a bit like Simon Peter or other things we realise. We have people who have more than one name in the Bible that people knew them by. The first message in that reading was a word of mouth message. It was a face-to-face message. Jesus talks to Philip and says, "Follow me." And Philip is clearly delighted. So this is a moment like that. Huge smiley face. He can see Jesus is something else. And even though he works out who Jesus is in family terms, he works out this is Jesus of Nazareth and he's the son of Joseph. More importantly, he sees through that, and he sees that here is somebody who's part of God's whole plan of salvation. In fact, they will realize in due course, this is God playing part of God's whole plan of salvation. He is the one written about by Moses and the prophets. He is the Messiah. And Philip gets that. And so we have a big grin emoticon. This is a major thing he's just discovered. And it's fantastic. There are times when we have those, wow, that's fantastic moments in lots of ways. But those spiritual, that's fantastic moments are great, aren't they? We suddenly realize who God is, how amazing he is, what plans he has for us. These things are true. If you haven't had one of those moments, they're waiting for you, because God does have amazing plans. God is wonderful. And he has allowed us to get that, to have a sudden moment where we go, wow. That's just happened. This is amazing. And when that happens, it's the most natural thing to do, to go and find somebody to talk to it about. So Philip rushes off to Nathanael, presumably his friend. He might have been a stranger. Who knows? No, I don't suppose so. Goes to Nathanael, says, "We found the Messiah." But Nathanael can't quite believe it. It's great, this bit. He's kind of stuck thinking in very earthbound terms. Philip has seen something beyond. But Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Whoa. Basically, he's saying, "I don't believe it." He's not got the smiley face. He's saying, not sure about that. Don't think so. Surely you've got it wrong, Philip. What about us? Are there times when we do the equivalent of, there can't be anything good that comes out of Nazareth? Times when there's a message from God, but we kind of miss it. Could that really be a God thing? Surely God's stuff wouldn't look like that, or surely God's stuff wouldn't come through that person. Nothing good comes from there. Or I'm not in the right place just now. Nothing good's going to come to me now. I've got other stuff going on. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear. Not the right time. We can brush things off. Maybe we even brush it off because we don't think we're the sort of person that God would be talking to. Well, actually, God made you, so why wouldn't he talk to you? We're all people who God would talk to. That can't be God, or that can't be what God wants me to do, or God can't be interested in me. Those are also parts of us saying nothing good can come from Nazareth. But it's not the best response. We can respond differently. And Philip wouldn't leave Nathanael alone. He wouldn't leave him with his grumpy face. Philip says, come and see. And that changes everything. The rest is history, as they say. Nathanael went on to be one of the 12 apostles. We need to have Philips around, don't we? People like that who challenge us to think again. Or people who say, come and see. When we say, can't be anything good comes from that. Some people know who their Philip was earlier in life. Someone who got them through their doubts. Someone who took them to meet Jesus. Someone who helped them to get to know him. Philips are really great people. Some people are making their minds up still. Could this really be Jesus? Could this person, Jesus, really be the thing? Is the Christian faith really the thing? Is it for me? Is it really what people say it is? Is it really what the people around me seem to believe it is? Come and see. Just come and see. Some people, they are being Philip to people, and I think that's wonderful. They're daring to go and talk to somebody and say, look what I found. They're eager to get there and say, there's something more here. Have you seen? Have you heard? Come along. I found this person. I found this faith. I found this community. I found this way of living to the full that is in Jesus and in faith in Jesus. You should come and see too. We can all be Philips. We can all be like that. Just let it flow. Realize what it is you've got and then just let it go in your way, because God made you like you are. But in your way, you will be able to be Philip to somebody. Your version of come and see. Let's not miss God's call because we don't believe it. And let's not miss the opportunities to go out there and dare to say come and see to someone else. Then let's look at the other story, the earlier in the Bible story from the book of Samuel. Well, this is Samuel himself. He's going to become a big prophet. He's going to anoint two kings, David and Saul, in the other order. He's going to have two books of the Bible named after him. It's going to be a big name, but at this stage, Samuel hasn't quite got things lined up like that. He's just a young lad, and stuff goes on. He's really not quite sure what to make of it. What's all this about then? Who's calling me in this particular story? So he turns to a wise person, someone mature, or maybe he's just going to the person who he thinks is actually calling his name. So off he goes to Eli. He keeps turning up by Eli's bedside and saying, hey, I'm here, you called me. Go to bed, says Eli. It's got a very polite version of it in the Bible. I'm not sure if really Eli used quite such orderly words at that time in the morning or whenever it was anyway. I've just got to sleep. Come away. It wasn't me. Samuel must be pretty sure that something's going on if he keeps going back to Eli, who's just said, go away, it wasn't me the last time. Some of you might know that you're being nudged about something, but you don't know who's nudging, because we sometimes don't know, do we? What's going on here? Is this just me? Is this just somebody else who I think would probably like that, or who said they'd probably like that? Or is it actually a God thing? Are we imagining it, or is it really important? Is God up to something? It can be difficult to work out. That reading starts off by saying the word of the Lord was rare in those days and visions were not widespread. What a wonderful thought that you'd have to mention that. Visions weren't widespread like they are now. Hey God, let's have that time again when visions are widespread and we can look back and say, oh, they weren't very widespread back then. But for Samuel, they weren't. He hadn't heard the word of the Lord yet. So for this, for him, it was something new. He hadn't experienced it before. And maybe for us, That nudge of God is something new. We haven't experienced it before, or not for a long time, or not like this. And we need to stop and think about it. That's quite reasonable. Do we have the courage, like Samuel did, to keep coming back and saying, I can hear it again. What's going on? And Samuel went back to Eli. And eventually, Eli responded, like the wise person he surely was all along, that must be God, actually, now that you've woken me up the third time. This is what you need to do. Could you be Eli for somebody else? Not that bit where you say, go away, I'm trying to sleep. But the bit where you think hard, and even though you might be full of sleep, you think, actually, that sounds like it could be God for that person. Let me talk to them about how they might test that out, what they might do next. Maybe it's saying, you're not mad. Just go back to God and ask about it. Don't ignore it. Don't just sleep through it. Eli's are great, wise people who come in very different shapes and sizes, and God can give us wisdom even though we know we can't do texting on our phone or whatever else it might be. The various things we all know we can't do, God actually will give us the wisdom that we do need at the right moment, because God's like that. He does that for us. Eli's can be a huge help to us. And actually, we can really appreciate people who are like Eli to us. And that is great, and it's part of God's big picture. But we do need to be careful that we're always doing things for God and not for those people we respect who have the wisdom and so on. Actually, what happens with Samuel, we tend to not go on much further in that story, because very soon afterwards, Samuel gets his message from God. And the message from God is judgment on Eli and on his sons for doing things not in the way that God had been wanting them to do. So we need to be careful that we're not doing things for our Elis, we're doing them for God. Everybody is fallible, and people make mistakes, and sometimes that they have to face that, or God has to face them with that. But the point I'm making from that is not so much that side as saying we do things for God, we don't do things for other people. Much as we are encouraged by other people, much as we're a team with other people, let's all keep our focus on the real one we're following. We're following Jesus. Samuel didn't know that it was God. Eli had to get him ready to hear God's message and to say, here I am, speak Lord, your servant is listening. That's more of a, I'm here, I'm waiting. Actually, it may not always be smiley when we say that. It might actually be, uh-oh. But anyway, we can trust God. Nathanael wasn't certain whether Jesus was to be trusted, but Jesus convinced him pretty quickly. I would love to give you a great theological reason for the whole of that exchange between Jesus and Nathanael. And people have worked on it and worked some stuff out. Basically, one way of looking at this is to see, Jesus says, here's a really great guy. And Nathanael says, how do you know? It's like, how did you realize? Well, I don't think that's quite what was going on, but something did it. In that short conversation between Jesus and Nathanael, Nathanael realized that Jesus was the real deal and followed him. And that can be how God works with us. There'll be whatever it is, sometimes we'll understand it, sometimes we'll just not quite understand why it happened like that. We will realize and follow. So Samuel responds and becomes a great prophet. Nathanael responds and becomes one of the 12 apostles who are part of carrying forward the whole Christian faith that we now have today. What could we become? How are we called to respond? Because if we lie in bed and block our ears, if we sit under the fig tree and say, nothing good will come of that, then we will miss God's call. And we will miss all the wonderful possibilities that will come through following God's call. That's true for us as individuals, and that's true for us as a church. Rachel's been saying, all saints, all sorts, recently. It's a great phrase. We are all saints, and we're all sorts, but God is calling all of us. God is on our case. How is he calling you to respond today? How is he calling you to take part in the next steps of Saints on the Move, those teams which we're building up, those parts of ministry which we're focusing on? How is he calling you to take a step in your own personal faith? Is he calling you to dare to do something that you'll need courage to do? Let us all be courageous like Samuel was. Let's all dare to say to God, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Amen.